Time to get it going here on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz. It's the Leaf Hour edition of our program. Live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. Just mere moments ago, the transfer of studios from the Blair and Barker Show, which we welcome them back. It's home opener tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We're all jacked.
Yeah.
We're all pumped.
Yeah.
I came in and I mentioned to Jeff and Kevin.
Yes.
I'm really excited about the season. The tickets are a tad expensive. And they laid a beating on me.
That was unrelenting. It was really nice to not
a
do
beating.
It, but to get to witness it.
An absolute beating.
You know, a good teammate, maybe I should have stepped in on your behalf, but I was kind of enjoying it.
Barker was Chara, and I was McCabe. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. Ragdolled.
Yeah. That was
good,
great.
Good dudes.
And by the way, the tickets are properly priced to watch our beloved Toronto Blue Jays.
Absolutely.
It's okay. Yeah. The food's better. The popcorn's fresher.
Yeah.
You're aimed at the actual baseball game now, which is nice. A little more room.
I want to get into those comfy seats in, behind home plate.
Okay. Well, I mean,
can you,
just
you go,
buy them.
You know anybody?
You have the money. Just buy them. You know, circle a game against the Royals in May.
Yes.
And you can sit right behind the home plate with this thing called money.
You ever
that
done
you
that?
Have. Never.
I've never done that.
There's nothing for me.
What's the deal? Do you know what the deal is?
No.
Like,
I think it's too close.
All you can eat, all you can drink.
Oh, really?
I don't
know that.
I'm asking.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Somebody must have dished out the bucks for
Fancy
it.
Fancy people text our show and tell us what it's like to sit behind home plate.
What's the guy from Rush that sits back there? Geddy Lee. Maybe
yes.
Geddy Lee listens to our show. Text us in, Geddy Lee, and tell
that
us.
That would be incredible.
First of all, they're too comfortable. I'd be asleep probably in 20 minutes.
And then it'll be, Nick Kiprios from Sportsnet falls asleep.
But there was no sleeping last night.
Nice egg.
For the Toronto Maple Leafs as they pounded the Florida or Philadelphia Flyers. I can't even remember who they are.
Hey, quickly, before we get into that, you mentioned yesterday about Jacob Chychrun. And we were talking about the 8-year contract, and then we were talking about like the contract he would get after his 8-year contract. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, well, that's a long way away. Like maybe Jim Nance today just announced
I saw this.
That his last Masters is going to be 2036. So he has given us an 11-year runway. So us talking about Jacob Chychrun's next contract, totally within our rights.
Yeah,
it's totally within
the farewell tour is not 11 years, Jim. I'm sorry.
You
might get hit by lightning. Kip yesterday said we're all going to drop dead of a heart attack.
I said we
together.
Could. I didn't say we will. I said
together.
We could. Therefore,
together.
Ovi shouldn't be passing up any empty netters.
That's right. That made sense.
Anyways, I thought it was funny.
All right. I wasn't, on yesterday's show, overly excited about the game.
No, you
because
weren't.
Because I had a real strong feeling that while it may be good for padding your stats, I'm not sure what you can get. I was actually expecting that type of game Saturday night against Nashville. It didn't happen, but it certainly happened last night.
You know, it doesn't happen that often over the course of a year. You know, really, and you play lots of bad teams lots of times, but that was the single, and I'll say the word that people like to say, that was an easy win. That was an easy hockey game. Philly didn't make it hard on them in any direction. The goaltender was really, really bad.
And I kind of feel bad for the Leafs because
David Ayerson?
There's
David.
Yeah, no, David Ayerson.
Gotcha. There we are.
Thank you.
There's no real way to come out of that game other than you did what you were supposed to do opposed to, hey, really saw some great things out there.
There was no way to win. There's no way to come in here and ever. But they did everything they could do and should do.
Yes, that they were supposed to
but
do.
But we learned nothing.
Nothing.
I feel no different about anything in any direction.
Did we learn anything more about third or fourth lines? Did we learn
nothing.
Anything more about shutting down a team and not blowing a lead? I mean, did we learn nothing but putting a team away that was supposed to be put away?
Nothing. Nothing for me. Yeah, I mean, yes, they executed and they did their job. You know, great plays. Willie Nylander obviously made some wonderful plays. 4-point night. Tavares continued to stay hot. 10 goals in the month of March is leading the NHL for him, which is fantastic. The power play was buzzing. It was great. It was a fun, relaxing game to watch. Not often watching the Leafs, Sammy. I'm sure you'd agree. Would you just be like, this is pleasant. This is in hand.
Yeah. No, and especially this year, they haven't blown out anybody.
Yeah.
So it is. I think if there's one thing that I learned about watching last night, that maybe I should invest in an amulet. Because
I don't know, Domi's an amulet guy too.
Well, is any commercials lately?
No, mentions? No. But like, this is a pretty remarkable year for John Tavares. I know we talked about it yesterday a bit, but I mean, for him, we ended up with 4 points last night, right? Like, yeah. I know their Flyers suck, but so does Nashville. So I thought that that line in general, if there's something that I learned out of this game, is that they have a legit second line to go into the playoffs with.
Yeah. I will say I've been trying not to say anything negative after that, but I also feel like we learned that third line is still no good. They didn't create anything. I know Domi had one nice individual rush, yeah. But that's separate from, hey, he works on a line. Anyway, let's skip over that because I don't want to be negative Nancy.
All right, let's see or hear Craig Berube's.
You're going to love this one.
Kipper's Clipper, the first one, and whether or not he felt like there was anything to be learned last night. Clip one.
Good response, good bounce back game, you know, right from the get-go. I thought that we played, you know, a good hockey game overall, all three periods.
Pretty good. You know, I actually should have leaned on you, Sam, to get the Tortorella clip.
Oh, no, we got it.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, I don't want to get into it.
Too soon?
Yeah, too soon. Let's stay with the Leafs, and then we'll move it over to the Flyers. Right. But I just want to follow up because while it's still fresh on, again, Lawton and third line, a bit of a concern even after last night. I mean, are we at the point where we are just going to look at the first two lines and say, you guys
go get 'em,
got to drive the offense and hope that Tavares and Willie feel as good in the first round as they did last night? Although Matthews and Marner didn't have a great night cookie-wise, doesn't really matter at the end of the day. You know, they're going to be there at the end to push the offense as best that they can. And then just be in a position where you're like, okay, so third line, if it includes Lawton, your job is just to shut down whoever you're playing against. And that's it.
Okay.
That's it. That's your job now from here on in. Don't care if you score another goal. The only way this is going to work right now is if we create a shutdown line.
Okay, then make it a shutdown line. That would be fine for me. But Domi and Robertson are they're two weakest defensive forwards on the hockey club. So not a shutdown line with Lawton. So that's not it. You know, the third line, go ahead.
Okay. Shuffle the deck then.
Yeah.
And then create that third line.
Absolutely. I totally think that's the answer, and I'm fine with the idea of a shutdown.
So that may mean Max, you're with game one. You're running shotgun with Matthews and Marner.
Awesome, I'm in.
So, yesterday I asked you guys a question about the role of Morgan Rielly and sort of diminishing the role and all that stuff, and your answer was that it's too late to do that. It's too late to. Like, to really start doing that, Kipper, was something that you alluded to. You're going to completely break up the top line that's been one of the better lines, like, heading into play, like, right before play. What are we, 11 games, 10 games here before the playoffs start?
Yeah.
You're going to completely, materially change your entire lineup right before the playoffs start?
I would say you'd be making a great point, and you are in theory. If those guys in many different iterations hadn't had the exact success they're currently having,
yes,
whether it's been with Bunting or Hyman or Richie or Thornton, whatever.
Well, Richie didn't.
But whatever it is, their points per game is,
yes,
it doesn't matter. It has yet to matter who's in that left wing spot. Mm-hmm. Maybe you think Nyes has moved the needle a little. Mm-hmm. Matthews has contributed less. I bet you they're right back to kind of where they've always been. I don't know if Kip plays left wing for them. I think they get 2-3 points a game. You know, like I just...
Off my ass.
Yeah. You would know where to go stand and what to do. It's... So I don't think you'd be like...
I understand your point, Sammy.
It just feels it's getting a little late for that.
It's different. It's just
they've also played with him. With Domi.
It's just shuffling the chairs a little bit. I think
deck chairs.
It's a
on a ship.
Yeah, that's staying up, Sammy.
Headed for an iceberg.
That's floating.
Okay, it's a floating ship.
It's a floating ship.
And it's a nice day.
It's a nice day.
Okay.
And it's much different than just pulling a guy like Morgan's minutes down 5 or 7 minutes.
Okay.
Did you put some thought then into the idea of Nyes, McMahon, Lawton?
I'm trying to think of big and heavy just to play against.
It's pretty big. Nyes, McMahon.
No, I can't take Nyes and McMahon off the top six.
No?
No. I can take one of them.
How about
Max
Pacioretty comes back from Robben Island?
Holmberg, Lawton, and Pacioretty.
Oh, I'm in.
Okay. Play heavy, play big.
And Lawton and Pacioretty are probably 10 to 20 goal guys.
If Patch is healthy,
yeah,
he's going to piss somebody off. He's going to catch them with their head down. Mm-hmm. Can you give me 2 weeks of running around like you did in October and November before you break down? I'll take it.
Yeah.
That's the way I think I'd start.
Have we heard an update on said Max Pacioretty?
This guy has to be back. He hurt himself with a tweak in a skate.
Yeah. I mean, has we have any indication? Like, maybe I'll tell our boy Luke to ask at practice next time, but like, there hasn't been anything on him. So
no,
banking on him seems like you're banking on forward Hawkenpaw here. Like, I don't know if it's going to be coming back anytime soon.
Okay. Let's follow it up with Bobby McMahon, Craig Berube, clip 5 on Big Bobby.
Quietly goes about his business. And, you know, I think you get pretty consistent play out of him in terms of what he needs to do to be successful. He does a lot of things right every game. And they go unnoticed a lot of times, but skating, you know, he really does a great job of pushing D back all the time with his speed. And, you know, he's very consistent at it. And like I said, you know, he skates really extremely well, and he's a big, strong guy, and he's on top of pucks all the time, you know.
Okay. I disagree with Chief that it goes unnoticed.
Yeah.
Because
I
told him when he signed his 2-year deal at 1-2 or 1-4, he's got rocks in his head. That guy would
maybe
be
a little harsh.
That guy would be looking at $3 or $4 million right now.
20 goals for Bobby McMahon. Maybe, what an accomplishment
maybe
a guy.
25 by the time he's done.
And he played in the American League a year and a half ago.
I had the East Coast League 2 years ago.
Hey, we.
And he was a healthy scratch to start the year.
Yes.
We give Leaf management some shots every once in a while for overpaying, but not this contract, man.
It, to be honest, they get some really good deals outside of the guys.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Second line.
That was with it's a quote again about what Bobby brings to it, but let's play that clip. On the second line.
Clip 2.
You know, I think since putting Bobby on there just adds so much speed and strength to the line. He's a, you know, a big, strong guy that can skate. Seems like he's always on the puck, you know. Create some battles for those guys. They get the puck, and obviously they can make plays, and Johnny can score. And so they've been effective for us since we put them together. I've been happy with them.
So they're not ones to go away from something like that. He likes it. That's going to be a thing. So I don't think McMahon's playing on third line anytime soon.
No. And if they're feeling it, you roll with it.
Yeah, I guess the third line thing still. Well, we have a quote on that
but
too. We can get to.
I think this is just the personnel, Borny. Like I think,
but
this
it's
is
not
just,
Sam.
I mean, what are you?
You, me, and Bunk were setting some possible lineups. None of them look like that.
I know, but they've been so hesitant to do anything other than what any coach has. I think it's actually in the Leafs coaching book that they hand you when you come in. It's like Matthews and Marner and John Tavares and William Nylander, flip them back and forth. That's what you can do. But outside of that, there's nothing you can do. Those are those just, the only you know, things.
Something that we haven't really
exactly.
looked at much.
Those are the only things you do. So
option A or B. Those
outside of that, yeah. they've done it once all year where they put them on three separate lines yeah. for not even for a full game. It's just not going to happen.
It's funny though, Kip. Like every time I make a lineup, like all right, this is what it looks like. It doesn't have Robertson in it, and I like Robertson. I think I've been fairly Robertson praising this yes. year by and large. But it's tough for me to see yeah. that spot
well, because
day one.
You know playoff hockey.
Well, it was at Holmberg that was out last night?
Yes.
You know, yep. like he's gonna be in. He's heavy, he competes, he defends, he forechecks, he hits.
Yes.
End of story. That's it. He leans on That's what it's boiled yeah. down to.
And unfortunately, Nick, I mean, heart of gold.
Hard worker, really great fast. Shooter, great player.
Right? Never quits on pucks.
And there's going to be interest. He's going to play.
Bounces off people a lot.
I would be shocked if you don't see Nick Robertson by game three, likely game two, but I don't think he'll be there game one.
I think he's kind of made his way out of the scratch rotation here, though, for me. Like, if you think about the last little while.
Kampf, Yarncroc, Holmberg, yeah. anyone but him. So but what has he done in those games they've given him?
Not a ton.
No.
So, to me, the fact that we'll see what happens when they go to San Jose, but that feels like a game they'd play him in that kind of game. But
bad penalty, and then he didn't get it deep after. I bet he doesn't play.
Really?
Yeah.
I just feels like, to me, that he's kind of out of that scratch rotation mm-hmm. at the moment. So, we'll see. But they're desperate for anybody else yeah. other than the top six to shoot it in the net. Grab no one
spot.
Does.
Grab a spot.
And he, I mean, what does he have, 13, 12 goals or whatever this yeah. year? Like, it's not a ton, but... They kind of need the chance of a goal.
I think you're making great points.
They need a chance. Like, no one else gives
He's
them a
someone
chance.
Someone who can do it. Give me a chance. Well, no, I was actually going to say that's guy, Lawton on the bench. Give me a chance.
Who else in the bottom six is like a threat? Yarncroc, yeah. maybe?
And watching him lately, I'm a little worried about yes. Yarny.
Domi, I guess.
Sure, not sure who had
seven on the year.
Not sure who had a worse night. Last night in the NHL, the Philadelphia Flyers or the Pittsburgh Penguins against Tampa Bay, but you're watching that team and it's like point.
Everything's
great. Kucherov. And then you go into Cirelli and it's like, boy, could the Leafs use a Cirelli type of guy? Quiet.
How about Naz Kadri, who's shot it in the net in overtime two of the last three games for the...
Scores the tying goal, then goes in on a breakaway, undresses. yeah. What was the goalie for Seattle? I'm blanking. Undresses and puts it in.
Grubauer, is he
no,
still there?
No, it's
But
the
in
guy.
The meantime...
Oh, yeah.
That was supposed to be Canadian that we're, like, so desperate for a goalie.
Yeah.
Like,
Joey Decord.
Thank you.
In the meantime, you rely on your big boys, and Willie Nylander did that last night. I have not heard any of your Kippers Clippers. I imagine Craig Berube really likes them.
Well, play it. We'll see.
Clip three.
He's got great ability. We all know that. And great shot. He does a lot of good things. Like, he's very talented. So, goal scoring, you know, I mean, obviously he's been pretty consistent throughout his career. He's got an opportunity to surpass the 40 goals, obviously, but... I thought Willie tonight, you know, the goals are one thing, but for me, tonight, I thought that he checked really well. I thought he was on top of things, broke plays up, back check, broke plays up. And then, from defense to offense, he's so quick with his agility and speed that he creates going the other way right away. He was solid tonight all around.
I love that player. I love the guy.
I thought, did you watch early in the game when he's skating backwards looking for the breakaway and then went offside?
Yeah,
did see
that. Right.
Did
yeah,
you
yeah.
see on...
That one I thought, I'm not sure what kind of night it's going to be.
Yeah. The Ryan Poehling goal where...
Gone.
He hits it and he's not even back in the shot. His camera shot.
Not yet. Even on my screen. Yeah, right?
And then
there's like... With all due respect, that start and that goal that they gave up was kind of typical of the things that we've seen the last 6 weeks, month.
Yeah, it's funny.
2 months.
Chief talks about Willie like a parent with their kid where you're like, don't praise their success, but the effort. You want to drive home the point that like we're not proud of the outcome. It's the effort we liked. Just bring the effort every night. You know, he's trying to.
Yeah, but that goal bothered me a little bit.
Which one?
The first one Philly got. Yeah. Right? That's the stuff.
It bothered me until the Leafs scored seven.
Yeah, of course it did. But it may bother you in the first round of the playoffs. Yeah,
but I trust that the effort level's there with Willie in the first round of the playoffs. Like, it, you know,
it's not him, effort. Him, Sam.
That's not,
him falling asleep against the Flyers.
Play Tavares, they need to save.
Effort has nothing to do with it.
Tavares tries to go up the wall, and that's a bad play. Yeah. And then it's a shot from the top of the circles that the goalie
can stop. It's not Tavares. It's the whole thing. It's like, how do you think you're going to break out?
Don't be too fancy.
When Tavares is facing the glass and he cannot see Willie, Willie can't see him because they both have their backs towards each other.
Yeah, he should just reverse it to
whatever the case is. That's not how you break out of your own zone when you've got the puck.
A little stretched out.
Right?
They were a little stretched out.
A little stretched out. I got a kick out of his comment.
We have it.
Yeah, let's play it.
Yeah.
Willie Nylander, clip one.
40 goals is hard to do. Consecutive seasons of 40 goals is hard to do. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, just trying to do what I'm paid to do. That's it.
That's
it.
Yeah. I love that.
Nylander.
Yeah, I hate it.
Why?
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear money. I don't want to hear I'm. I don't want to hear I. I just want to hear we.
Oh, my God.
Like, hey.
They asked him a question about him. He said, yeah.
Just
glorify it.
I'm paid what I'm supposed to do. You're paid to win, buddy. You're paid to help this team win a Stanley Cup. That's what you're paid to do.
In the last three seasons, two players have 40 goals, and he's one of them.
I know.
Who's the other one?
But just
Leon.
I know. Oh. I was trying to quiz
game. Oh, I see.
Stick to the we part.
Oh. A boo. Guy asked, he gave a great answer.
That's fine. It's Willie's answer.
Yeah. Okay, but
it's
then,
Willie's answer.
But then we always make fun of guys for being boring. And he's like, you know, it's just.
I think that was boring too. I think that was pretty uneventful.
Like, what would you rather be? Obviously, it's a tremendous honor for me and my teammates to score 40 goals. It's all my tremendous honor, teammates. Amulet.
Just happy to contribute to the ball club.
And if there was ever anybody who got no help on their way to 40, it's with Tavares, who also wants to shoot it, and whoever they rotate through the other wing. He's like, yeah, that was me. I did the 40 right here.
Yeah. Doesn't really matter.
I mean, it is pretty crazy that there's only two guys that have done it in three straight years. He's one of them. I assume
Matthews can get there with 40 this year.
If he gets there.
Lightning hot. He got 13 goals in the last 12 games.
I do think the goal scoring part of his. I don't know if I necessarily think of him as a sniper, or I don't know what I think of him as a hockey player. But that's pretty impressive to be one of two guys.
A lot of goals. The hardest thing to do in the game. Someone's got to do it.
It is not an issue putting the puck in the net for those guys.
No.
And the size of the net now for John Tavares right now must feel like a soccer net.
Yeah, it's
going shooting on airs and
right?
Yeah.
Surprised or not surprised that there's more noise or no noise about him signing a contract?
About Tavares?
Yeah.
Not surprised. I just can't. It just feels like he wants to be a Toronto Maple Leaf and
so
everyone's going to sort it out.
They're using that to their advantage, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Which
I'm sure. I'm sure he would sign a contract if they put one on the table for him.
Well, it depends on what and how much, I guess.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. But it's smart. We'll see at the end what we got.
I think it's to your point. We've been talking a lot about him just re-signing here and he's going to be happy to come back here. And, you know, people have thrown a hometown discount, whatever. You don't need to say that. But at some point, he looks at his numbers that he's having this year. He's going to be probably have the most points for any UFA center that's out there. Like, I mean, you could probably get a pretty big contract from somebody, right?
Yeah, but it's one of those things where it's like, go ahead.
What did Stamkos get?
8, I think.
And how much older is Tavares than Stamkos?
Same age, aren't they?
Around the same age.
Same team.
33, 34.
Yeah.
So what would be, like, he couldn't get that from somebody?
I think he could if that's his priority.
Yeah.
We've had this discussion on the show a million times. You make $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't won anything.
Mm-hmm.
What's important to you?
For sure.
And that's something he'll have to decide. And if the team loses in the first round, they'll say, here's what's important to us, having you not on our team.
Do you think that if they lose in the first round, they completely walk from him?
You know, I think you definitely won't have Mitch and him back. definitely won't be both. Yeah. You know, there may be a world where, let's say, Mitch leaves and they go, God, we got to keep someone who shoots it in. And,
yeah.
You know, they say, well, yeah, we'll give you
2 years,
five and a half, or yeah, or whatever. Like
2 years?
Sure. Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, listen, unfortunately for all four of them, we'll include Tavares with the big three, that they have not found a way to get it done in the playoffs. And if it goes south again early, one or two changes are coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's worse positions to be in than having Matthews and Nylander locked up and $22 million off the books and the cap going up. And, yeah, there's no one to go out and get right away. Mm-hmm. But I do think that flexibility that that offers, it's a bit of a weapon.
Even if the Leafs do win a couple rounds, like, are we sure it's not the – like, at some point it's just kind of run
its course? I think if they did what they did 2 years ago, where they go into the second round and just get beaten to a pulp.
Yeah.
It's – pretty similar to a first-round loss.
But no, I just meant like with Tavares. Even if they have some success in the playoffs, like there's no world where the front office is like, it's kind of run its course here. Like he's been here a long time. It hasn't worked. We haven't won, even with a bit of success. Like I love John Tavares, and he's given them everything you could ask for in that contract outside of winning multiple playoff rounds. But like the value on the scoring and everything that they've given you. But at some point, you just kind of got to cut the cord.
Let me ask you something. Last year... Right, or 2 years ago, sorry, they beat Tampa, and it's a really good feeling.
Because
it's the first one in 18 years.
Yeah, Captain Tavares scores the OT winner.
And then
seeing that puck trickle over that goal line is like, one of the favorite
moments
of my life.
A monkey off your back in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then Florida comes in and mops them up,
mm-hmm.
and it's like we've lost that loving feeling.
Mm-hmm.
If they were to win two rounds,
mm-hmm.
but exit really quickly in the conference final, would it take a similar feel as 2 years ago?
No way.
No, I don't
conference know. Finals, okay, conference finals in this city, man, like even if you go to five up. Or six games in the conference final in this city.
How about a four-game sweep?
I don't know. It's two
you're
different wins.
You're a super
wins.
Fan. You
it's
should
two
know.
It's, I haven't been there in a while, bud.
Not drawing on a lot of experience here.
I was in high school. Like, okay, I had an afro the last time this happened.
And it does depend who they're playing, too, right? Yeah. Like, it probably feels worse if you get beat up by the Canadians in the conference final.
Oh!
Then, well.
Okay, he makes a good point. He makes a really good point.
It depends what it looks
like. Yeah. But it is a huge fork in the road, not only for Marner, Tavares, but Brendan Shanahan.
Yep. Well, hey, I forgot to ask you about this. What'd you make of Shanny being in Nashville on the weekend?
Is he not often? Or
no, I think this year's had a different feel for him, and it's not like the one that he's typically had as president of hockey ops. I think he's dug in a lot deeper right now.
A lot more.
With the team. I think more day-to-day. He's trying to salvage his team. He's trying to salvage his role as president of hockey ops, so naturally you're going to be seen or heard from, if not publicly, behind the scenes.
You know, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Watching that team last night, you're reminded of all the good. And
for
the
sure.
reason it's fun to, you know, watch a team who can do that to another team that easily. It was kind of poking around with a friend over some, like, Leaf numbers and stuff. When they've had Matthews, Tanev, and McCabe in the lineup this year, mm-hmm. all three of them, I think they're like 25-13-2, 26-13-2. Mm. Like they're a very good team when mm-hmm. all three of those guys are in the lineup. Watching that last night, it's like, that does give me hope that some of the numbers I've seen throughout this year, that they're a better team than the numbers say. Because when all those guys are in, they're pretty darn good. So
okay, before we go to break and then come back for your mailbag, McKee's midweek mailbag.
I'll say it for you. McKee's midweek Maple Leaf mailbag. The four M's.
How come you say that like you've been saying it for 10 years, but you still cannot do a reading to save yourself?
You need to practice the...
Yeah, I'll work on that one.
Anything with my name,
it
comes so naturally.
Got
right?
it, yeah.
Okay, John Tortorella.
Oh, boy.
If we want to go back to talking about the Flyers, mm-hmm. which you wanted to earlier on.
Yes, I did.
That team last night would not win... A Calder Cup in the American Hockey League last
This is a line
night.
From the Grinch. Stink, stank, stunk. That's them, man. It is gruesome.
Yeah.
They got I mean, nothing good going on. The vibes are down. Like, Torts called the timeout when it was, what, 5-1, 6-1?
Stood there.
And he didn't even look at him. He was like, everyone just needs a breather. Like a boxer that you, you know, call him to the corner of the between rounds and say, just catch your breath.
It's bad.
There's no plan that's going to help when you get out there. Just catch your breath.
All right, we got a clip of John Tortorella and his frustrations.
It's my job to prepare this team in this type of situation. Haven't done a good enough job past couple of games.
These last two games, are you sensing frustration setting in? Maybe it's a cumulative effect from last week playing well and not getting results?
Well, when you're in this type of situation and you're losing all the time and there's nothing at the end of the tunnel for you, there's certainly going to be some frustration, but this falls on me. I'm not really interested in learning how to coach this type of season where we're at right now. But I have to do a better job. So this falls on me, getting the team prepared to play the proper way until we get to the end.
Talking about the end.
Hey, I'm not interested.
Not interested in learning to coach this.
What the hell
type
does that mean? I'm not interested.
Okay. How did you interpret that?
I took that as he's having trouble bearing down and caring and focusing, given everyone's just walking the plank right now.
I thought...
Hold on, you're going to ask me the same question?
Well, I thought you just kind of said...
No.
You looked at both of us and said, what does it mean?
It means that, like, you guys have no chance of making me look like I know what I'm doing.
There's nothing at the end of the tunnel for you.
That's a quitter's comment on the last 10 games to go in the season for me.
I agree with that. And I bet he regrets the way that was...
I'm not interested.
Can you play that last part again, Derek?
I'm not really interested in learning how to coach this type, this in this type of season where
your
we're at
type.
Right now.
Right.
But I have to do a better job. So this falls on me, getting the team
I have to
play the proper way until we get to the end.
I have to because I'm still getting paid, but I'm not interested in your type.
He sees himself as a playoff coach, a winner. This is not his thing.
Like,
what do you...
I'm not trying to defend Torts. Can't stand him, but... the end of the year thing. Like, it's just like the end. I don't know how to coach at the end of the year like this, where they're playing out the string. I'm not used to coaching like that.
Not interested.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I can't defend it. It just, he can't mean what he's like said there. Does he mean what he said?
Been around long enough.
It just surprises me that in Toronto, he would say that. Like, without...
Like an advertisement that he's like, I see myself coaching a winner. I'm not interested in being around for this tear down, rebuild, develop. I'm not a developmental coach.
I'm not really interested in learning how to coach this type.
This type, right, of losers.
Yeah. This type of season was what maybe he was trying to get at.
I think it's a rebuild.
Yeah.
I'm not in, develop young guys and try to, you're not trying to win. You're trying to...
What do you think Jonesy and Daniel Briere thought?
I think it's safe to say that he's done behind the bench with that comment.
By his own choosing.
Oh, he's just said it. I have no interest.
Yeah. And it looks like it'll be that next year.
How do you go from I have no interest with 10 games to go in the season to looking forward to training camp with these guys? Tell me how you can do that.
I don't know. And, can you go to the front office of the team and be like, yeah, we're in a rebuild. I just can't coach this group? Or is that mentality, have you shown your colors a little bit there?
I think everything points to the direction that he has a real good relationship with ownership there. Mm-hmm. They like him, and he's been around long enough, and he is very well respected in so many ways that if they see value in him, he'll stick around. And I don't know, what does he want to do? Does he want to...
Not this. Not this,
Kip. Does it sound like he wants to coach? Does he want to scout? Does he want to player personnel? Does he want to be an advisor? Does he want to save pets?
Maybe he wants to coach a winner.
What do you want to do?
I think he wants to be the special assistant to the manager of the assistant manager.
Buddy, those jobs
that's
are
what he
unbelievable.
Wants. That's what he wants.
Yeah, just cut me like $100,000 check and I'll show up sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah. Once a month.
Once in a while.
Yeah.
It does open a door, though.
Buddy, you tell me, old Rick Tockett's watching that game, sitting at home, eating his dinner, going, yeah, that's a team I want to coach. give me Emile Andre. You know, no offense to Emile, but he's a guy that Domi ate up. Like,
I'm watching him with no stick, like looking like he's going through a turnstile at Kmart when I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
He had a tough night.
Yeah, there wasn't pretty. But I think when you have a team that...
Oh, I can't want that.
You know?
No, they're not making playoffs next year.
Fires Hall of Famer. You know, the going home buddies with those guys.
Yep. Yes. And if you see it as a long-term, give me a five-year deal so I know I'm going to be here.
After last night.
Yesterday's price is not today's
Kyle
price.
I want the Kyle Dubas special.
Yeah.
Seven picks in the first two rounds this year. Aggressive ownership. I don't know.
That's
I
think fine if they're telling me we're going to use the picks and trade and get you some players. That's what I mean. I'm in. But if these guys are going to be ready in 5 years.
Does he get to bring Demko with him? Because they need to
bring Demko with him?
Or somebody. They need somebody in that.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay, let's go to break. When we return, we dip into Sammy's, I don't know, what do you call it again?
Mickey bag.
Mickey's mailbag.
That was just a horrible, horrible hook.
Mid-McKee.
Going into the break.
Bag of maple.
Stick around anyways when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, so if I wanted to go to a Blue Jay game and eat crab legs,
yes,
where would I go?
I got
the legs of a crab.
I got a DM from somebody, a rich person, I guess, who said, Blue Jays Blueprint Club above the dugout. All you can eat crab claws, primes, prime ribs, sushi, candy bar, ice cream, freezies, popcorn, everything they got all game, every game.
So that's gout is all you can handle.
That's according to my source, this guy who DM'd me on Instagram. Yeah.
What's his name? Give him a shout out.
Kyle.
Kyle, thanks, Kyle.
Eating like a
rich boy,
Kyle. Century
Daddy Warbucks.
Appreciate red it. Wine and steak, please.
Yeah, Daddy Warbucks.
Is there time to watch the game while I'm stuffing my face?
Seems like an awkward thing to eat crab legs while you're at the game.
There's no way there's crab legs.
Of course there is.
But like, so I'm sitting there and the camera pans to me.
Just a hot melted butter bowl in your lap with a bib on.
Yes. Yes.
No shot. At the venue for crab.
2025, man.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Okay, what do you got for us?
All right, Sammy.
You got mail.
Oh, my God, that brings back bad memories. Really bad memories.
Is that when you put the phone down into the cradle for
like,
AOL?
Dial-up
sound.
And if you, like, picked up the phone while somebody was on the internet,
called,
like, it just disconnected.
Yeah.
What a world we used to live in. Anyways, this one's from Johnny Utah on Twitter. Which Leaf is most likely to pull a Kipper-style collision with the opposing goalie in round one? Like in the 96 playoffs, go Leafs, go.
Excellent question.
Enjoy Johnny a lot. He's great. Thanks for all your comments and keeping us interested.
Play the right way.
Could it be Domi or Lawton?
It's Lawton.
Yeah, I'd go Lawton already. That guy, you can see it in his eyes. We're still going to see him do whatever he thinks it takes sometimes.
He's looking to help.
Yes.
You know, like he's looking for a way in, the cross-check, the fight. He wants to find a way to help.
He's a little off right now, but he's the type of guy that would take one for the team, I think.
And also, you know, he has this, like, hockey IQ, you can tell, where it's, like, taking the temperature of the game. Kampf, Holmberg, those guys are nice players, but they don't do that sort of thing. By the way,
Holmberg,
didn't even mention Kampf just dangle on a breakaway last night.
Got the belt.
Did he?
He did.
By then, come on.
It's a great move.
Oh, it's a great move. I hope it builds his confidence, but I don't think anyone expects that to ever happen in a real game.
Wild to be Tavares and Willie and have 4 points, and they're like,
I don't know if you'll remember, but in the first round of the playoffs a couple of years,
I think
he had a breakaway shorty against
I think Vasilevsky. He can
remember that.
Yes. I told you when he came back, this guy's capable of holding onto the puck and doing a few things here and there. So Holmberg's the type of guy for me that should just drive the net a lot harder. And
Holmberg's a good candidate to fall on a tender for sure.
Occasionally bump a goaltender.
I actually think we've under-discussed him being a great diver. like one of the league's better penalty drawing forwards. He's drawn over 20 penalties this year.
Does he lead
which
the
is
team?
A huge number.
Oh yeah.
We'll figure that out quick. But yeah, he does deserve some credit for whoopsie, I got taken down. Shout out to him.
Good question.
Yeah, really good question. This one's from Old Man Bailey on X. With the power play success and the struggles of the power play in the past playoffs, will Berube stick with the five forwards? Ballsy going into the playoffs, in my opinion.
Oh, 100%. There's no doubt about it. There's a number of stats on this, and I don't have them all with me, but they have the best power play in the NHL since January 15th. And Sam, I think you had one on the front page.
From Mike Kelly? No, it's on the back. Since the NHL trade deadline, the Leafs' five-forward power play has been the most productive in the entire NHL, with 8 goals in just under 19 minutes of ice time and a goals per 20 of 8.5.
There you go. So, yes, they're going to stick with it.
I think the reason why they've stuck with it and they will continue to stick with it, too, is because Marner's the last guy back.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this guy
capable
can defend.
Yes.
How many times have we seen him back there break something up or time it or get a stick on it or block something? He is really, I don't know if he gets the credit he deserves for a guy who's very conscientious. Every time he's on the ice, he can still come close to 100 points, and maybe he gets 100 points finally this year. But this guy is always the high guy. He's always the guy back. He's always the guy defending in some way, shape, or form.
I actually did a dive into Marner's defensive stats, and, you know, he's a very particular type of defender. He is, for 2 years running, first in the NHL in broken up passes as a forward, among forwards. So he's 215th in puck battles won. So he doesn't win puck battles. He doesn't block shots. He doesn't do these, like, the heavy things, but his reading the play and anticipating and seeing plays develop, he does better than anyone.
Huh. If I coached a whole season for the Leafs, I would have had him play defense 5 times a year.
Do you remember there was a minute that. There where there was a thing?
They should have again.
Yeah.
Because
their top right shot D-man?
Can you imagine, though, if he was a defenseman that could jump up on plays?
Well, no one would have ever believed it to be even a halfway good idea till Quinn Hughes, till Lane Hudson, till these guys where you're like, you can defend like that.
He could have been a guy like that.
For sure.
I think he's better as forward. This one's from Parker on Twitter. How bad would the reaction be if the Leafs actually lost to the Sens in the first round?
Really?
That's a sad
really
question.
Really bad. Really bad.
This is my nightmare.
Yeah, this is, you can answer this better than anybody.
So, okay. Now,
I've got an article on this out right now, by the way.
Let me ask you this.
If they lose to Ottawa?
No, on the 3 different opponents they could face, Florida, Tampa, Ottawa, their odds, their likelihood, and why Sam is afraid of Ottawa is included in the article.
So you have odds on winning or losing each series?
Not odds. I have the likelihood that they play them, and then I give just my opinion on how it looks.
But, so you don't think it makes any difference who they lose to, in your opinion?
Correct.
Okay.
Because,
like, if they lose to Florida or Tampa or Ottawa, it's the same thing.
They're all major disappointments.
You mean that in terms of what they would do to the roster?
I just mean about the heartache.
Okay.
The heartache. There's no losing in the first round that will make you feel better than Ottawa.
I can sleep at night if they lose to Florida in the first round.
Everyone would lose to Florida in the first round. You can go, they just won the cup. They're the best team.
I can sleep at night if they lose to Tampa in the first round.
They're supposed to lose now. It's over. They're tired. They're not as good as they were last year.
But people will go, they're gamers.
Not there for the first 2 games. I'm sorry.
Whether you think that or not, people don't.
Kachuk's hurt.
That is not consensus.
He's got a torn groin. Some suggest that he has surgery now.
You know who else is hurt? Kachuk on Ottawa, the other one. That guy's not been 100%. Losing to them, be like, oh, like at least you go, oh, Sam Bennett got us. You don't want to be like, Ridley Gregg again,
You'd rather be stabbed or shot. Like, come on, you're dying. You're still dead.
100%. But there are definitely different ways to go. And if you ask me which one I want, I can tell you I have a preference.
I can't.
You're taking the quick bullet,
oh,
aren't you?
Oh, buddy, put her into my temple night.
Yeah, Sam Bennett, bang. I just can't. There's just, it would be the worst thing. Anyways, we can move on from that.
That was dark. Sorry.
But we've had a lot of death talk lately, eh? Heart attacks, yeah, well, and stabs, stabbing, and shootings.
We're getting old.
What else we got? Trying to see here. Where do you think, this is from Dan on X, where do you think Pacioretty slots in when he's healthy in the playoffs? We talked a little bit about this in the first block. I poo-pooed it because I don't think he's going to be back. But if he is, and he finished off his tweet by saying, go Knights. So lucky for him, I actually even read this. But where do you think he slots in? Third line?
You know, given how well McMahon has looked on the second line, really hard to see him there. So it has to be third line. There's no chance he's playing with Matthews.
Yeah, I'll stick with that too.
Okay.
So, yeah, you get him alongside a couple of grunts and Lawton and again, Holberg,
I didn't see his physical presence early in the season. And
Pacioretty.
Yes. And I was the first one to say, man, there's no way you're going to keep that up for 60 or 80 games. And lo and behold, that's true. But it doesn't matter now. You just need
him at the right time.
2 weeks of it.
Hopefully more. Get
us somewhere.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is if he does come back, and let's say a third line like that gets constructed, all of a sudden he gets, what do you do with Domi? Like, can he play on the fourth line? Does he want to play on the fourth line?
The Swiss Army knife. He should go anywhere he needs.
To follow up earlier conversation, Pontus Holmberg is 12th in the NHL in penalties drawn with 24.
That's pretty good.
This is a late arriving one, and I'm going to butcher this name, but I got a DM, and it's a great question. last name, Wolicki. We'll go with that. I'm overseas. Listen online. Love the show. Mailbag question. Who is the current Leaf that is most likely to become a successful NHL coach?
That's funny because that's actually a television question.
Oh, I can answer that in 2 seconds.
Who you got?
Chris Tanev.
That was my answer, too.
You know why I disagree?
Because he's going to management?
He's made too much money.
They all have. I got news for you. No. We'll never have an ex-player
again. Everyone in the
Leafs
has, for sure.
We'll never have ex-players behind benches or general managers again.
Yeah, you look at a lot of these guys and it's like,
he's got a mind. He's got a mind for the room. He's got a mind for whatever's kind of needed. To me, in many ways, he's very much the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
It's interesting. I'm going to be bringing to air tonight Luke Shen. You know, someone who hasn't made a zillion dollars, who's a leader that people respect and love, who seems to love hockey and wants to be a part of it. Mm. You know, I think he's got the cachet to do it.
We had multiple tweets about Sam Bennett, but I'll just read this one for you. This is from D. Mel on X. Sam Bennett, that is all. Gives you flexibility when you re-sign Tavares and shift him to the wing or more shelter role as 3C. Suddenly you have 34, 91, Bennett, Domi, and Lawton, who could all play center. Mitch Marner is gone. This has to be the plan.
Let me get out ahead of this year in advance. I am nervous about a long-term deal for Sam Bennett.
Agree.
I don't think of him as a fast guy. He is not a high offensive output guy. I don't know that into his 30s it's going to age particularly well.
Yeah, I think he's safe for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah?
Yep, I do.
I love the guy.
The only thing I worry about is him getting hurt. He plays too hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
Which is another age thing. That's
speed's not his forte anyways, but he just goes through you.
Yeah, well, he can. He definitely does.
You know, and he could break down. That's always the possibility. But him losing his piss and vinegar in the next few years, I do not see it.
No, I don't think so either.
This guy's as competitive as anybody in the league.
He'll be, when they win the cup in late June, he'll turn 29.
$8 million is more money in his pocket in Florida than $10 million here.
There is no question that this gets played out and July, whatever he's eligible, 8 times 8.
Oh, I think we could hear it before the playoffs.
You think?
Yep. I think Sam Bennett could sign before the playoffs start.
By the way, if you haven't seen his profile picture, his NHL.com headshot, it's the meanest anyone's ever looked at. He is terrifying in his photo. Check it out.
Great.
All right.
That was McKee's midweek mailbag.
Sam could look mean if he just didn't smile so much.
How much time do we have, Derek?
He'd need some Sons of Anarchy gear. He'd be a biker.
With fighting seeming to be more appreciated in hockey right now, how many Sammies would it take to beat a prime Kipper in a fight?
5.
8.
2 ain't enough, is all I'm saying.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, catch our breath. When we return, we go national. Plenty to dive into. Ken Weeb will join us as well.
Jets talk.
Jets talk on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Don't go away.